I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as high as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Politics, humor, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah, you're listening to Arch Cop Radio,
Hello, hello. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show 74. My name's Bart. Glad you had a chance to drop by. Boy, we got a big, big issue today. But before I tell you about it, let me get the Shadow Chinako out the way. Oh, that was a big one. It's fine. It tastes... At the Casa de Bart, there's a new spirit store. And I went down there and I looked at their Chinako and found a bottle that was extra dark. Same Chinako Añejo, but it was just a little darker than usual, so I had to buy it. Tastes extra fine, but I've only had a gulp or two out of it, so I'm going to have to taste test it by comparing it with some of the others. But let me tell you, before we get started on today's show, about what happened when I tried to play poker. They legalized poker in January. It took this idiot casino about 3 or 4 weeks to figure out how to deal. So they started dealing poker about January 28th or so. And I was there accidentally the day they started. Of course, they didn't announce that they were starting. They can't think to advertise. No, that would be using their head. There's only millions and millions of dollars at stake. So there's why would they bother? But you wouldn't believe this place. It is, I guess, the biggest thing ever hit Oklahoma. It is a monstrously huge success. You got to park a quarter mile, a half a mile or something from the front door. You got to walk through thousands of cars to get to the place. It just takes forever, the parking. Plus, there's a big thing in the K-Drag newspaper about to get there. You got to sit at the same stoplight for at least 3 revolutions because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars always trying to get to the place. It is just a massive success. They can't figure out what to do. They are drowning in money. They just don't know what to do. So I was out there just poking around late in January, and I saw the big crowd, and I said, hey, what's the big crowd for? And they said, oh, poker's legal starting at 5 o'clock. And I'm thinking, well, cool. I had some money with me. I'll just sit down and play me some. But no, there was hundreds and hundreds of people in line for something that they didn't announce or advertise. So I thought, F it. And I went home. Came back a couple of weeks later, thought, I'll drop by and play a little poker, just like in Vegas. Okay, so in the big poker room, they have like 30 tables. And, of course, the Texas Hold'em tables, the no-limit tables that I like to play, that the world likes to play, those are full. And if you want, you can go play at the 2 and 4, or the 4 and 8 dollar tables. And actually, that's more my speed, more closer to my income. But you can't bluff a guy for $4 or $8. Or you say, you know, there's $30, $40 in the pot. And you say, well, by God, I'm going to raise you $4. Well, if there's $40 in the pot, even if you got crap in your hand, it's worth another $4 to maybe win the $40. That's 10 to 1 pot odds. You got to take that. Time goes by. I go back there in February. I go back there in March. I go back there in April. Pretty soon, the fun wears off of all the crap games. So now, swear to Koresh as my witness, and you know, when I swear to Koresh, it is absolutely true. Went out there last week, and the 30 tables they got sitting there, they got the 30 Texas Hold'em, whatever you call them, shaped tables sitting there. At one table, they had the Texas Hold'em $2 and $4, and at two of the tables, they had the Texas Hold'em No Limit that I like to play. And, of course, they were full with a massive, massive waiting list. I mean, please, how many pages down do you have to go to put your name on the list? And swear to Christ, God is my witness on the soul of David Koresh, the other 27 tables are empty. Nobody wants to play anything but Texas Hold'em. And there are dozens and dozens of people waiting in line. But they only have two tables. They can't figure. This is Oklahoma. They have 30 tables. Two of them are full. And there's maybe 80 people on the waiting list. if you're not in the top five, you might as well go home, because it is so impossible to sit down at one of these tables that if you ever do get to sit down, you bring a couple of $1,000 with you, so if you lose your $300 or something, you just buy more chips, because my God, once you get your ass in that seat, you'd be crazy to let it go, because it took you days or weeks to get there. So they've got 30 tables, and 27 of them are empty. Meanwhile, if you look a little to your left, you see the blackjack dealer standing there, table after table after table, empty. These blackjack dealers are staring into space. What is wrong with the people in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, please.
This led me to believe I am probably the smartest person in the state of Oklahoma. Yes, it's true. Bart Kopp, fallen Catholic, ADD, IQ 64, non-graduate, must be the smartest person in the state of Oklahoma. Because when you go out there, this multi-billion dollar, at least multi-million dollar casino, they've got all these dealers standing around staring into space. And they've got all these people lined up to play Texas Hold'em No Limit, pissed off. They're standing around waiting for a chance to play, but they can't do it because out of the 30 tables, only three of them are open. They got 27 empty tables. Do you understand what I'm saying? Think if you had a pizza parlor. You got tons of sausage, you got tons of cheese, you got tons of dough, you got tons of tomatoes. And you've got all the cooks in the world standing around. You've got 1,000 people trying to get in the door to eat some pizza. But you're not feeding them pizza. That's what we got here. We got thousands and thousands of people wanting to play poker. But the casino can't figure that out. They're just incapable. Okay, that's where we were up until last week. So then I heard the rumor that now they're holding tournaments at the casino. This is the Cherokee Indian Nation Casino. It's like 2-3 miles outside of Tulsa. So I hear this, I go out there, and I see the sign. It's a $20 entry fee. Now again, we're talking my speed. I got 20 bucks to play me some poker. So it's $20 to get in. So what do? I go look at the line, and there's 100 and something people in line. I figure, well, okay, you know, you got to pay the price. I mean, I'm not worried about 20 bucks. I'm worried about paying the price standing in line. So they make an announcement that they can only handle 50 people in a tournament. They're going to have five tables. And so all the other dozens and dozens of people just get screwed. And I'm going, what the F is wrong with Oklahoma? So I grab one of the tournament directors. I said, dude, what is up? And he said, well, we can only do 50 people. I said, why? I said, even in Oklahoma, they can't have a law that only 50 people can play in a tournament. You just can't tell me that's a law. And he said, well, actually, it's more of a guideline that the casino set up. And I'm going, dude, you see those 27 empty tables? What the hell is 27 times 10 is 270? And you're trying to tell me you made a rule that only 50? What is wrong with you? How can you throw that? Isn't this a casino? Isn't the point of a casino to make money? Don't these starving Indians need some money? Why are you preventing these Indians from eating, you cruel man? Anyway, he made it real clear that I was not going to win this argument. This poor, idiotic casino, they can't figure it out. They got hundreds of people standing in line. Please, we have our money. Please, can we give you our money? But the casino says, no, we don't want your money. And that shit drives me crazy. And I'm thinking, you know, that $20 is kind of cheap, you know. If you've got you a $20 gambler, whoa, you got you a whale on the line now. So I said, you know, what if you raised it up a little bit to, say, $40? Now, I'm a big fan of using economics to solve problems. That's like what a toll road is for. If you're sitting on a highway in Dallas, Texas, you're sitting on the interstate, the big loop that goes around Dallas, wherever it's called, and you are holding still, sitting in your car with thousands and thousands of other cars. You're sitting there baking on an August afternoon. It's 109 in Dallas, Texas, and your car is not moving. You got shit to do. You got places to be, but you're not moving because the highway is too crowded. Wouldn't you pay, say, $2 to be on a toll road where you could be going 65 or 75 miles an hour instead of sitting there stopped dead in your tracks? See, I agree with the economic theory that if you have too much business, raise the price a little bit. Because if you got to piss the people off anyway, you might as well piss them off with their money in your hand. Now, that's what this casino ought to do. Instead of telling 100 or 200 people, sorry, you can't play poker today, go home, we don't want your money, why not raise the price of poker from $20 to $40, and maybe a third of those people will say, nope, that's too high, and they'll go home, and now you've only pissed off 60 people, but you got $40 a person instead of 20. Now, see, you've doubled your money, you see? But no, they don't understand that in Oklahoma. They're not as smart as old Bart with his IQ of 64. So, pissed off as hell. It's been 4 months. I'm trying to... You know, I can walk to Vegas and play poker faster than I can drive 10 miles to this casino, because when you get the 10 miles to the casino in Oklahoma, they won't let you play no poker. No. See, in Vegas, if you say, I'd like to play some poker, excuse me, sir, I'd like to donate some money to your casino, they say, well, thank you, Bart. And they sit you down, a pretty girl comes over and says, would you like a free shot at Tanako, Bart? And I'm thinking, yeah, this is my kind of place. But no, not in Oklahoma. They don't do that in Oklahoma. They just tell you to eat shit and die because they don't want your money, because it's an Oklahoma casino.
Oklahoma, please.
So I'm pissed off as hell. Been 4 months, still can't play no poker in Oklahoma. But it's 8:30 in the morning. See, that's another thing. They're trying to get some people in their casino, so they hold this tournament at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is a pretty good idea. Most casinos are dead 9 o'clock in the morning, so that's when they hold. So they got now the casino filled up with pissed off people. So I figure I'll go over to the breakfast buffet. And the breakfast buffet at the casino is not a whole lot to write home about, but it's $2.99, no tax. And that kills me. You assholes. Make it $3. I give him a $5. She gives me $2, and she's standing there fidget, trying to dig out that penny. Lady, keep the penny. I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. I got places to be. I'm not going to stand here and watch you dig like George Bush in East Texas for a penny. But no, they have to make it $2.99 instead of $3. So finally, I pay the lady. And now I'm standing there, and they don't have a, whatever you call it, a maitre d', whatever it's called, to seat me. So I'm standing there. I'm 10 minutes. Let me ask you a question. Does the casino make more money when I'm standing here hungry and pissed off, or when I'm fully fed and got money in my hands and walking between those rows of the slot machines? Now tell me, between those two, between me standing here pissed off or walking between the rows of slot, which way do you think the casino will make more money? But no, they don't understand that. This is Oklahoma. This is how I got to be the smartest man in the entire state. So time goes by, maybe 15 minutes go by. The maitre d', if that's what you call it, who knows? I'm not so good with my French. Finally, they seat me. But, of course, they had to seat me in the smoking section because all the tables are dirty. Here we go again. They've got people standing 15, 20 deep trying to pay to get into the breakfast buffet, but they don't have a place to seat them because they didn't hire enough $5 an hour table clearing personnel. And it just drives me nuts. The food was decent. Koresh knows the price is good. Hell, she asked me what I wanted to drink. I told her chocolate milk and orange juice. She brought me here we go again. The chocolate milk. What? God, what? You sent me to Oklahoma for a reason. I'm trying to figure out what it is. I told her I wanted chocolate milk. So she gets two of those little half pint things like you got when you were a kid in school. They open up two of those and pour it in my chocolate milk. Made for a big, tall chocolate milk. And that's the point I was going to make, that by the time you get a big chocolate milk and a big orange juice, that's probably $3 in most restaurants. Here, I haven't started my food yet, and I'm ahead of the game, I figure, because I got a giant chocolate milk and a giant orange juice. Orange juice was fresh and good and all that. Chocolate milk was nice and creamy and cold and thick, just like I like it. But the point is, they got the two of those little bitty half-pint deals. I understand portion control, but 30 years ago when I was in college, they had these giant 5-gallon vats that they filled up with chocolate milk. And you could just, you know, you've seen them, the big stainless steel box, and you just stick your cup underneath it and the chocolate milk pours out. That's got to be 3 times less expensive than buying trays and trays and trays and trays of these little 8-ounce half-pint chocolate, these little wax containers full of chocolate milk. But no, this is Oklahoma. This is a casino. They can't figure that out. My breakfast experience, it was penny-wise, it was good, but I would have rather paid $5 for an all-you-can-eat breakfast and get served. I don't want to try to eat with some asshole next to me smoking, and I would have rather sat down within 5 minutes after walking in the door, but no, they couldn't find a maitre d', and then they can't find people to clean the tables to let people sit down. It's just uncanny to see this building. It's a multi-million dollar building, and they're doing so much business. They're doing so much business. I don't know how many millions a day they're pulling in, but they can't hire enough people to clean the tables. They can't hire a poker manager who understands that instead of having the blackjack dealer staring into space while hundreds of people are walking out the door angry because they couldn't gamble. They just can't figure this out in Oklahoma, and it drives me crazy. And sorry it took me so long to do this rant. That probably drives you crazy. But there is some satisfaction knowing I'm the smartest man in Oklahoma. Okay, enough about poker. Sooner or later, we got to get into the show. Let's do that right now.
This is www.bartkopp.com.
Once again, the Bush family evil empire has taken major steps to screw the military, and I expect once again the military will stand up and applaud while Bush screws them to death, and I wish I could get someone to explain it to me. Big headline, Gulf War POWs lose bid for compensation. The Supreme Court let stand a ruling that threw out nearly $1 billion verdict for the former POWs, who were tortured and maimed. They had their eardrums blown out. Some of them had broken bones. Some of them were just flat out beaten. And so they filed a claim against Saddam. Well, let me read you a little bit of story. U.S. pilots and soldiers who were taken prisoner and tortured by the Iraqis during the 91 Persian Gulf War that Bush initiated lost their legal battle to hold Iraq liable Monday as the Supreme Court turned away their final appeal. The justices heeded the advice, or the orders, of the Bush administration and let stand an appeals court ruling that threw out nearly $1 billion verdict won by the Gulf War POWs 2 years ago. The court's refusal to hear the case spares the administration from having to go before the Supreme Court to argue against U.S. POWs who were tortured. Now, for a president who enjoys torturing anybody with dark skin, it would be kind of hard for him to argue that these people deserve compensation, wouldn't it? The 17 ex-POWs that sued Iraq and the regime of Saddam under the terms of a 1996 anti-terrorism law that opened the courthouse door to claims from Americans who had been injured or tortured at the hands of state sponsors of terrorism. The POWs said they were beaten, had their bones broken by the Iraqi captors. Several of the men nearly starved in the weeks they were held in cold, filthy cells, including at the Abu Ghraib prison near Baghdad. By the time the ex-POWs had won their claim in court, the United States had invaded Iraq and toppled Saddam's regime. To the surprise of the former U.S. prisoners, the Bush administration went to court seeking to nullify the award they had won. Several issues here. One, the Supreme Court, these crooked sons of bitches, are going to do anything that Bush asks them to do. If Bush says, I feel like staying in power another 10 years, this whore Supreme Court will say, okay, you gave us our power, we'll give you yours. This is a really, really bad road we're on here. Sure would be nice if I was wrong, but I don't think I am. Little sidebar here. You know the stuff about the filibusters? They're trying to prevent the minority from having any power at all. They're trying to completely shut out the minority, make them completely powerless. That tells me the Republicans aren't planning on losing power. Now, it's possible they're just flat-out suicidal, like Henry Hyde and Newt Gingrich and the others were, Livingston, during the impeachment scandal, and they were all screwing their secretaries for them to impeach Clinton for getting a blowjob. Well, they were all having flat-out sexual relations with that woman. So we can't rule out the idea that they're positively suicidal, but what if they aren't? What if they have a plan to never lose power again? Once they get this filibuster thing pushed through, then they could just start passing laws to where we don't need to hold an election every 4 years. Who's going to stop them? Are we going to form an army and overthrow the government of the United States? I don't think so. But that's awful scary to have Bush decide that the minority has zero power. And this is one prick asshole deciding this for the entire United States for the foreseeable future, one guy has decided that the minority should be powerless after however many dozens or hundreds of years that the forefathers built in the checks and balances system. Let's get back to these American POWs who are held captive in Iraq. Why would Bush stand in the way of them getting their $1 billion? Well, it's pretty easy. And once again, I am befuddled that nobody else will even talk about this. But right now, Bush legally owns Iraq. He owns it lock, stock, and barrel. He owns every square inch of it personally himself. Somewhere there's a paper that says he doesn't, but you know that's just a bunch of crap. Because years ago, just a couple of years ago, Bush signed some document that the Provisional Trust Authority yakety-yakety hand job hereby controls all of Iraq's assets, and that is controlled by Bush. So Bush is the legal owner of everything in Iraq, including the oil, including any assets, including, you know, buildings, the art, the museums, all the oil pumping stations, the oil wells. Everything in Iraq is George Bush's personal property. Now, if these former POWs get $1 billion from, quote, Iraq, that's money out of Bush's pocket. He's not going to give these people $1 billion out of his pocket. He had to work 10 days to steal $1 billion. Now, why would he work 10 days, and by work, I'm talking about playing his Game Boy and maybe making a speech. That's 10 days worth of money for Bush. Now, why would he give that up just for a bunch of military men that were tortured for doing their job for their country? Bush is not going to give up that money. They did not steal power so they could be fair and give other people their due. They stole power so they could steal as many billions or hundreds of billions as they could. And the idiot Democrats are sitting right there letting them do it. Green light, blank check, carte blanche, anything they want. They're allowed to steal. And the Democrats are just going to sit there with their hands over their mouths. They're not going to say a word. God, that makes me mad. But again, what is with the military? They love this guy. Every time he screws them, they stand up and applaud a little bit louder. It is just crazy to watch. Next time Bush is on one of these military bases to give a speech, watch how voraciously they jump out of their chairs and scream that stupid hoo-ah and clap and cheer for the man who stole $1 billion from these torture victims and who cut their pay, cut their veterans' benefits, cut their medical benefits, sent them into battle without the armor they needed, again and again and again, and they love the guy who's screwing them to death. I think Bill Maher had something to say about that.
The president was at Fort Hood. That's in Texas, right, this week? Okay, and I have to say, when you see him with the troops, they love him. And they don't love every commander-in-chief. They didn't like Clinton. And he treats them so badly. Why? It's like a dysfunctional relationship. It's like the troops are the battered wife. The worse he treats them, he doesn't give them their armor. I mean, the list goes on and on. The worse he treats them, the more they love him. What is up with that?
And if I remember right, so did that Dixie chick. That Dixie chick might have got her finger right on the pulse. Let's see.
I think it is about a war going on, and I would think if you're over there risking your life, you have to find something that you believe you're risking your life for. I think it'd be very hard to be over there and just be totally disgruntled. And you have a very real possibility of dying. So I would think that these people and people, the families who are here, I would think that you try and find something to support, because you're crossing your fingers that something good is going to happen from it, and that your family member is going to come home.
I guess if you eliminate all the other possible reasons, that last one makes the most sense. I mean, what would happen if a couple of thousand soldiers got together in Iraq and one guy kind of was the spokesman for all of them, and he'd stand up and say, why are we dying? We're dying for Halliburton. We're dying so this idiot monkey can make $100 million a day. And he's sitting in the air-conditioned offices, surrounded by Secret Service, and we're out here sweating and getting shot at and eating dog food and living in less than sanitary conditions and watching our friends being maimed and murdered. What the hell are we doing here? What's wrong with us? And you got 1,000 men with guns and with attitudes and a can-do mission. Yeah, that could turn real ugly real fast. So I guess somehow they have hypnotized themselves into thinking we're here for a reason. You remember, my big thing is lying to yourself. That's one of my big things that I just can't get over. And, you know, I'll forgive a guy in wartime who's not thinking clearly. I don't have much of a choice but to forgive that. Surely the troops in Iraq have heard that there are no weapons of mass destruction. Surely they know that. But, I mean, they're getting mail from home. They have to know that. So when Bush says, well, we invaded to free Fallujah, are the soldiers buying that? How do they lie to themselves to that degree? It just seems, I can't fathom the idea that they say, oh, well. I mean, it's like watching some conservative liar on Crossfire Capital guy, oh, no, we went over there to free the people of Fallujah and help the Middle East on their march to democracy. Well, no, we didn't. We never did. That was never the stated objective. But now they're saying it was. It's like all those words that Bush said, remember the State of the Union 2003? And all those words that he said, it's like, well, no, he didn't say those. That recording you have of him saying that, that's just liberal propaganda. Those are blue state recordings that you have. The red state recordings are the ones that say, by God, we're going over there because Saddam's a dangerous man and we want to free those poor people. And it's got nothing to do with oil. No, no, no. Nothing to do with oil. I mean, how does a soldier sit there, bullets flying over his head, lying to himself? We're here to promote democracy. We're here to promote democracy. We're going to force democracy on these people if we have to torch entire villages, entire towns, entire cities. Because these people don't know how great the American system is, so we're going to force it on them. How does a soldier do that? How do 150,000 soldiers lie to themselves that way? I understand, I think as much as a non-military guy can, the military attitude that, yeah, yeah, we're here to do a job, and communism had to be slapped down in Vietnam, and we got to do this here, we got a commander-in-chief, rah, 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 and all that, because they're trained to do that. They've been trained like a fireman. A fireman, when he sees a fire, he doesn't stop and think, well, no, do I want to go in that building? No, his training sends him into that building. So these guys are trained, at least on the combat end, but how do you train the common sense out of a soldier? How do you tell a soldier, the reason we sent you here, forget that. We never said that, and you never heard it, so we don't talk about that anymore. How does a soldier give up his logic and his common sense in order to lie to himself to justify him getting screwed? And now let's talk about how the military is such good training for you for later on in life. Well, is this why a military man might make a good corporate soldier? Because when you lie to him, he's going to say, well, okay, that raise you promised me, I must have imagined that. When you told me after a year I was going to get a 40% increase in pay, I guess I must have misunderstood, like I misunderstood the president 10 years ago back in Fallujah. And who's lying to the military families? How does that work? When the wife and the three kids are sitting at home, or the parents, or the brothers and sisters, the co-workers, when they know that Bob's over in Iraq getting shot at, everybody knows that they were lied over there. That's how they got there, on a big giant lie. And everybody knows it, but nobody will say it, because they're all too busy lying to themselves. How does that happen?
Is on a national tour promoting her new memoir, but some aspects of her life still provoke bitter feelings.
I had an opportunity to do something that a lot of Vietnam vets want to do. I did it for them.
That's a lie. You're a selfish bastard who wanted to do something. You found an old lady you could beat up, so you did. You lying bastard. You didn't do it for anybody but yourself, and look at you. Now you're on TV. Oh, how nice. You get to commit a crime and be on TV. Great example. That's what this whole nation needs more of. Go commit a crime and get famous.
Vietnam veteran Michael Smith makes no apologies for what he did to Jane Fonda. At a book signing in Kansas City, Missouri, Tuesday night, he waited in line to have the actress sign a copy of her new memoir, My Life So Far, number one this week on the New York Times bestseller list. But it wasn't an autograph Smith was after. It was revenge for this infamous photo op. A young Jane Fonda visiting North Vietnam at the height of the war, sitting on a communist anti-aircraft gun. When Smith's turn at the book signing came, he approached the table and spit tobacco juice on Fonda. Witnesses say the actress took it in stride.
She just started, you know, allowing people to pat her down. She said to everyone around her, "It's fine, it's fine."
In her book, Fonda talks about her trip to North Vietnam, the notorious photo, and the bitterness it provoked. She apologized for it again recently on CNN's Larry King Live.
I think it hurt a lot of people, and I'm very, very sorry. And I will go to my grave regretting that lapse of judgment. It was terrible.
But that's not enough for Michael Smith, who says he considers Fonda a traitor. And he expressed no regret for his action.
We did what we had to do for our buddies. And I knew this was something that I was going to do for my buddies.
I can't say that I feel better.
But the simple truth is, he wanted to assault a woman. He thought it would feel good to assault a woman. So he chose to assault a woman, and now he feels like a big man because he tried to pick a fight with a woman who weighs about half of what he does. And she's an old woman. What is she, 65, 70 years old? And this big old burly guy, he looked like, well, 30 years ago he was in his 20s, so he's about 50. And he thought it would be just a whole lot of fun to go assault this old woman. Boy, what a big man he is. And he did it for all the POW. Yo, you're a lying son of a bitch. You just felt like spitting in a woman's face, and you thought, now, think of these lying Republicans and these religious frauds. Why the hell isn't this condemned across the board? When you feel like assaulting someone, you're not allowed to do that. When you feel like attacking an old woman, you're not allowed to do that. You're supposed to show some self-control. And every religious fraud and every law and order Republican should condemn this across the board, but nobody will, because what is Jane Fonda, it's okay to break the law, it's okay to break the rules, it's all right to break societal norms to assault an old woman whose crime was smiling. And you compare that to the cocaine monkey who deserted his post during wartime. You know, they shoot people for that. Or they used to. Today they make him president. But there was a time when if you deserted your post during wartime, they would shoot you. So we're not angry with Oliver North for running plane loads of missiles to the terrorists. We're not mad at Reagan and Bush for stealing the election by making an illegal deal with terrorists. No, we're not angry with any of the people who actually committed treason and changed the course of history. We're angry with an actress who did a stupid thing when she was a kid and she went and smiled with some people. For that, it's okay to break the law. It's okay for a big guy to beat up an old woman. It's okay to do that. Because we live in an idiotic world where the liberals refuse to fight back. And the Republicans know that as long as the liberals will refuse to fight back, they can bully them all day long.
Fonda chose not to file charges against Smith and said in a statement, "In spite of the incident, my experience in Kansas City was wonderful, and I thank all the warm and supportive people, including so many veterans, who came to welcome me." Smith confirmed his service in Vietnam to the Kansas City Star with what the paper described as a document transferring him to Marine Reserve status back in 1972. Although Fonda isn't pressing charges, Kansas City police are accusing Smith of disorderly conduct. Smith was arrested, released on bond, and is due in court next month.
follow-up to something we did in the last Barcop Radio. I mentioned the thing about the license plate, how it doesn't really make a lot of sense to have a license plate that is PTZ84B. I mean, nobody can remember that. But if you had a license plate that was, say, Summer 42 or Bridge 89, something like that, they're so easy to remember. And that was reinforced the other day when I was listening to Air America Radio. Air America Radio, I think, started March 30th last year, whatever. It's been more than a year. And if you offered me $100 to tell you what Air America's call-in number was, I couldn't do it. After listening to Air America Radio for a year, I can't tell you what their number is. When Air America Radio gives out their number, they say it's something like 1-800-22-35-66, something. You know, it's a bunch of numbers that nobody on the planet can ever remember. And they got to think about the psychology of it. I'm sure the DJs, once they have it memorized, I mean, they have to have it memorized because they're going to say it so often and they can't be tripping over it, so they get it memorized in their head. And once they have it memorized, they think, well, everybody knows this number. But after a year, I'll bet nobody out there, off the top of their head, can tell me what Air America's phone number is. But after listening to Jerry Springer for one day on Air America Radio, you know what Jerry Springer's number is on Air America Radio? I can tell you, and I memorized it in one day. It might have been one listen, but his number is 877-34-JERRY. Now, see? After a year, I can't tell you Air America. After an hour, I can tell you Jerry Springer's phone number. And it just goes to show you, if it works on a radio telephone number, it has to work on a license plate, too. So why isn't every license plate in America something that you can remember? Do they not want people to remember the license plate? Do they want the suspect to get away? It would be so easy. They just need to listen to old Bart. Boy, if I was king, we'd have this country whipped together about 90 days.
The oil revenues of that country could bring between $50 and $100 billion over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. We're dealing with a country that can really finance its own reconstruction and relatively soon.
And now a word from the lady who enjoys seeing Rush Limbaugh naked. And they go out of their way to say that neither Darren Kagan nor Rush Limbaugh's spokespeople will verify that they're dating. Well, if rumor's out that she's dating him and she doesn't want that rumor out, it would be real easy to have her publicist or CNN or somebody say she's not dating the ugly bastard fascist pig. It'd be so easy to say that. But since they are not saying that, it's safe to assume that they are dating, which doesn't have a lot to do with the story. I just, how am I going to mention Darren Kagan and not mention the vulgar pig boy that she sees naked and likes it? So Darren's going to tell you a little story. And I know, and you know, that we live in a whore nation, but you're just not going to believe how bad a whore nation we live in when you hear this.
It happened at an exhibition hockey game in Quebec City. But give her a break. She's not only Canadian. English is not her first language. Listen in.
Now, there's only so much you could tell what happened there, but they had apparently an exhibition hockey game in Canada, and they had a French girl set up to sing the national anthem, and she thought she had it memorized, but she didn't, and she forgot the words, and what can you do in that situation? I don't know. But what she did, as you heard, she got in the middle of it, realized she had no clue in a thousand where she was going, so she said, sorry, and she turned around. Stupidly, she was standing on the ice at the hockey game. She was like 2 feet away from the edge of the ice. And when she said, sorry, she turned around and walked off the ice, and she came back a second later with a little piece of paper in her hand, which obviously had the words on it. And as you heard, the crowd was booing her. The poor girl messed up. What are you going to do? So she comes back with the words, and as she steps onto the ice, that glump you heard was her falling. I think she hit her head on the little wooden wall as she fell. And here's the crowd cheering because this lady fell, the lady that insulted them by not knowing the words of the national anthem in her second language. And so what we have here is bad behavior by some Canadians at an exhibition hockey game. I mean, please, it wasn't even a hockey game. How weak is a hockey game? And this was an exhibition. So the crowd behaved unruly and they booed the poor girl. And why am I even getting into all this? Well, Sunday night we watched Desperate Housewives, Mrs. Bard and I. It was a pretty good show. They did a recap of the funniest moments of the year so far, and there is some pretty good stuff. You can probably take a year's worth of Bright Cup Radio and distill it down to a funny hour if you try real hard. Anyway, so it's a good show. And as the credits are rolling, the ABC affiliate comes on to explain the news that's coming up, and that was their top story. ABC News affiliate in Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, the top story in the world Sunday night, according to ABC, was this poor idiot flubbing the words of the national anthem. We'd never heard of her. The game was so non-event, they didn't even mention what stadium, what team, nothing. They just said an exhibition game. And it was the top story for ABC News. ABC News, thy name is whore. And I know you knew that before I said it, but you are such a whore. We got a war going on. We got a country going bankrupt. There are so many things wrong with this country. There's so much news going on. But ABC in Tulsa, Oklahoma, thinks the number one story you've got to be aware of. They always talk. Every time you see an interview with some news asshole, he always says, oh, we only have 22 minutes. There's so much news. There's just not enough time. Oh, it's just, we have to do our best to somehow get the most important news to the reader. Oh, our hands are cuffed and it's so hard. Bullshit. You guys are just a bunch of dirty, slimy whores. You're the absolute lowest common denominator possible. These dirty, crummy whores in Oklahoma, they thought the only thing you had to know about the world, about this weekend, as you get ready to go to sleep, start your new week, is that some idiot in Canada flubbed the national anthem.
Oklahoma, please.
ABC, thy name is whore. Thy name will always be whore. In 10 years, you know what we're going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about how much more whore nation we live in 2015 than we did in 2005. That's how awful things are going to... It just is a giant downhill slide into the gutter, into the muck, into the mud, into the slime, into the ooze. ABC, and it's not just ABC, they're all whores. Every one of them, they just line up to blow somebody for a nickel. They should all be ashamed of it. Every American news organization is the same. It's all about the money. It's not about the news. You should be ashamed of yourself. Thy name is whore, everybody.
Well, are we moving too slow? Have you seen us, Uncle Remo? We look pretty sharp in these clothes. Yes, we do. Unless we get sprayed with a hose. It ain't bad in the day if they squirt it your way. Except in the winter when it's cold. And it's hard as it hits on your nose.
You know, people came from all over the world to the lab. And where did they go? Into his office? Yes, to talk to him about how great he was. But what did they come to learn? They came to me to see how I did it, how I made these cultures, how I inoculated them, how I judged whether they were infected or not. So all people from all over came. This commercial company sent teams of people here who were interested in eventually getting into making vaccine. I was a celebrity to them, not to the public. So my satisfaction is that I left that lab and I had a career of continued productivity in several different fields, recognized by my colleagues, There's my satisfaction. There's my answer to Jonas Salk. My answer to him would be, in the long run, what I did with my life scientifically.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better.
Stewart is pretty unflappable. Lately, and by lately I'm talking about the last maybe 6 months to a year, he has been quicker to use the F word and all words like it. He knows they're going to bleep it out, but you just know it means a little more to him when he uses the F word. Sometimes he uses it for comedy effect, which works real good. But then there's times when he is goddamn frustrated with the idiocy he sees around him that he just lets go, again, knowing that the censors are going to pull it out. But this is one of those cases. He can't fucking believe what's going on right in front of his fucking eyes, and he lets you know about that.
Straights, heteros, 90%ers, breeders. Exactly the kind of people who don't belong in our periodic segment, Gay Watch. We ride the rainbow to Spain, where a bill legalizing gay marriage has been approved by the Spanish House of, or Casa de Representatives. Afterwards, jubilant gay activists rejoice on the parliament steps. Incidentally, fully two-thirds of those people work for Pedro Almodovar. The vote makes Spain the third European country to grant full legal rights to gay couples and ensures a bright future for its legendary annual gay tourist attraction, the Running of the Bears. That is a real picture and in no way doctored. Next, our Merry Gay Watch Parade floats to Texas. This isn't going to be good. The State House of Representatives in Texas recently passed a bill forbidding gay people from adopting foster children. The measure was drafted by State Representative Robert Talton.
We do not believe that homosexuals or bisexuals should be raising our children.
He's right. You know, those foster kids ought to be raised by their biological abusive or otherwise unfit birth parents. You know, the reason they were taken away from them in the first place. Of course, since homosexuals are sneaky about their lifestyle, the law also allows state officials to investigate whether suspect foster parents are telling the truth about their sexual orientation. Yeah, you know what's interesting? I'm not making this up. This would be done through a series of trick questions on the screening application, such as, number 32, fill in the blank, at first I was afraid I was A, petrified, B, I don't know. As one supporter of the bill told CNN, this law is based in science.
We also have got to look at research that does show that children in same-sex couple homes are 11 times more likely to be abused sexually. And I think that that is not an issue that can be ignored. It is a proven fact, and that was a research study done in the state of Illinois.
Hard to argue with that. You know, Akira Phillip on CNN still gave opponent Randall Ellis a chance to respond.
Well, I certainly haven't seen that research. I've certainly never heard anything like that. No child health care professional that I have ever spoken to, no one who has access to any of the credible research being done on these issues, has ever mentioned anything close to that.
Actually, Emmy's right. The study that she mentioned is based on the work of one knucklehead who did a nexus search on the internet to compile a scientific research. It's a specious claim, and no doubt Kira Phillips will come through the spin and point out the facts.
It's an interesting debate, a good debate. Thank you both very much.
Because it kind of seemed like the one lady was lying. Kind of seemed like just making shit up, you know what I'm saying? Show anchor Carol Lynn, you going to let her get away with that?
I have some opinions about that story. You and I are going to share them during the commercial break.
We'll be talking about it, that's for sure.
Why don't you call them on their bullshit on the air? You're an anchor, for fuck's sake.
You're an anchor, for fuck's sake. is what he said. And isn't it amazing? I forget who the first person was to point this out, but there are now red state facts and blue state facts. The red state facts are that homosexuals are 11 times more likely to rape a child than a straight person, where those goofy-ass science and logic blue staters with their fancy tests and their scientific method have proven that homosexuals actually have a much smaller rate of attacks on children. If you're screaming about the evils of the gays, you just get to throw out all the facts. I mean, what if someone said Ronald Reagan, between the time he was governor and president, he had to do time for beating a male Puerto Rican prostitute to death with a five iron? And what if the Republicans said, that's a lie, that did not happen, and the Democrats said, yes, it did, and then the whore at CNN says, well, hey, interesting debate. No, it's not a fucking interesting debate. It's either true or it's not. What the hell's wrong with the anchors? Jeez, I miss Dan Rather. That's how idiotic these people are. Good God, the whole country is spiraling into the fucking toilet. Everything is just getting worse. You go back and check some of the earlier Barcat radio shows. It wasn't this bad then. Week by week, it's getting so much worse. How is it possible? A year from now, what kind of shithole are we going to be living in to where we say, God, if we could only go back to April 05 when things were sane. But no, in April 06, we're going to be living in triple hell. It just keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse. And it's all because of the money-grubbing whores who refuse to hold anybody responsible. It's all about the money. Fuck the truth. Fuck everything. It's all about the dollar.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.